Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Padres Hot Tub Group Therapy, live on a Thursday night, June 1st. We've turned the calendar. Have we turned the page on the bad times for the San Diego Padres? A 5-4 road trip coming home from the East Coast with a convincing win over the Miami Marlins, 10-1 to take 2 out of 3 from the Fightin' Fish and clinch a winning trip. Craig Elston, Chris Reed, here with you. We are live on our Padres Hot Tub Patreon group therapy stage. We've got a terrific crowd that has gathered for the show. We'll be inviting several of them up to the stage as we continue on here through the evening, get their questions. Several others have left questions for us in our group therapy text channel, and we'll be doing our best to get to all of that over the course of about an hour or so. But Chris, first things first, man. Hope you have had a wonderful Thursday, and certainly it was made a lot more pleasant when the Padres scored a 7-run inning to put a somewhat close game completely out of reach this afternoon down in Miami.
Gosh, Craig, it was like a cold morning swim and a plate full of oysters, my friend. Great stuff indeed. Exactly what we all needed. This episode's entitled A Fish Fry, although I just want to point out right away that marlin is a terrible type of fish to fry and get anything else, including tilapia, and it'd be better. It should be like a fish hang out and smoke and then make jerky out of in a winning road trip. I'm submitting a new episode title, Craig.
I'm just gonna take that and I'm gonna set it aside and just quietly casually move forward and say, you know, there were a lot of things I really liked about today's game, and while we can immediately jump to 10 runs, I want to start with Joe Musgrove, because Joe Musgrove was cooking today, but he saw a run scored against him in the bottom of the third inning without courtesy of a base hit. And the Padres got that run back and another on top of it in the top of the fourth to take a 2-1 lead. And at that point, Musgrove came out and threw a shutdown inning. 1-2-3, locked down Miami, brought San Diego's offense back out there in the fifth inning. The Sanchez, Gary Sanchez, hit his second home run in as many days in the top of the fifth to make it 3-1. And bam, right back out there went Joe Musgrove, and he threw a second shutdown inning, which is defined as putting that zero up after your team has scored in the top of the frame. Of course, in the sixth, San Diego scores a touchdown with an extra point or a try with a 2-point conversion. If you'd prefer some rugby, shout out San Diego Legion. And you know what? Joe Musgrove gave up 3 singles to start the bottom of the sixth, and he got out of that with a 1-2-3 double play. He got out of that inning and put up his third shutdown inning in a row. That's what you want from an ace. That's what you want from a guy you've committed 5 years, $100 million to. He hadn't pitched like it too often this year, but Joe Musgrove, that guy, showed up. Java Joe showed up today in a must-win game on the road, and I thought that was one of the most important things that happened.
Padres games don't get more entertaining these days, dude, than when Joe is pumped up and yelling and barking as he comes off the field. He was when he got out of that jam. He looked great in his last start against the Yankees. I had kind of been referring to Musgrove's start of the year as kind of like an extended spring training, because his got truncated by a free weight or a kettlebell to the toe, and he never got the normal start of the season you wanted to see from him. But he's back, baby. Everything's moving good. When that curveball's dropping in for strikes, I don't know how hitters can possibly have a chance against the guy, because he's also got the slider that's going to go off the plate on you, and that fastball's got enough movement and velocity on it that if it's up in the zone, no one's going to catch it. He still doesn't quite have his control, Craig. So, like, this isn't even the ceiling for Joe Musgrove. Outings like this, And I did get a little, I wasn't saying the word in the fourth or fifth inning, I'll put it that way. I thought there was at least a chance today.
When he gave up a run, I didn't even realize that he hadn't allowed a hit. And then I was driving up to Escondido because I was playing golf this afternoon. And you know, no knock on him at all, but Jesse Agler has been calling the entire Miami series clearly sick as a dog. Like, not just sick, but like really sick. And you know, he's from down there. So it just has to be the crappiest thing on a three-city road trip that, you know, he caught something in New York and he brought it home, and where he should be happiest, he's been miserable. And like, poor guy had like no energy, could barely even talk. And he was just very nonchalant. And that's the first hit allowed. And I was just like, oh, really? Wow. Okay. And then it was the second hit and the third hit allowed very quickly thereafter. Nonetheless, you just want to see these pitchers, the guys who you've committed to either by trading significant assets or by signing to significant extensions, you want to see these guys lead the way for the Padres. And Yu Darvish could not lead the way on Sunday when he was given a 3-1 lead. And today, Joe Musgrove was given a 2-1 and then a 3-1 lead, and he led the way. He shut down his opponent. Admittedly, the Marlins are not the Yankees. Nonetheless, he got the job done. Blake Snell got the job done yesterday, although the offense was not able to put up enough to turn that game into a win. But if you get Darvish, Snell, and Musgrove going on a regular basis, you're going to see the Padres head in the direction we want to see them go.
For sure, dude. We saw good stuff out of Blake. Couple that with mind-blowing statistic, Michael Wacha, best major league pitcher in the month of May. And this rotation looks formidable going forward when they're going to need to be putting up series wins for a while to catch up with the first place Los Angeles Dodgers and Arizona Diamondbacks.
When I look at today's offensive effort, the thing that stands out to me, like, we can start with Tatis. Maybe we should just start there. Fernando Tatis Jr. gets three doubles. He gets a key hit with runners in scoring position. The Padres go 6-for-14 with runners in scoring position. So, you know, you could feel a lot better,
Craig,
about that.
Now that you mention that, I gotta bring something up right away. Today, the Padres went 6-for-14 with runners in scoring position. They started the day with a .192 batting average with runners in scoring position. Do you know what 6-14 does for them, Craig?
What?
They have reached .1995. That's 200, baby. We're rounding up. They did it. They're over the Mendoza line.
We're the Mario Mendoza. Yeah, we are the Mario Mendoza of runners in scoring position as a collective. That's
by
amazing.
By the banner, Craig. We did it. Mission accomplished.
Tatis came through. Big hits. Bases clearing double. I won't even, you know, talk about the double in the ninth off of the catcher throwing 43-mile-an-hour cheese balls up to the plate. You need Fernando Tatis Jr. to have games with three hits, a walk, a stolen base, two runs scored, four runs batted in. That's what you signed up for. That great game for Fernando got him up to .253 average, .786 OPS. But you look down the lineup, and we've seen that black hole in the month of May. And today there were glimmers of light. Brandon Dixon, two hits, two runs batted in. Jake Cronenworth, a hit, an RBI, a run scored. Gary Bleepin Sanchez, two hits, three runs batted in, two runs scored. A Zokar, a hit. Austin Nola, of course, he didn't get a hit.
He hit the 125. Ball, though, Craig. He didn't strike out once.
He had a run scored.
Orange slices
he reached for
Austin, base. Is all I'm saying.
He also had an error, nonetheless. You get contributions a little bit up and down the lineup. It doesn't have to be superstar stuff, but if one of your superstars can lead the way and you get some contributions up and down the lineup, you have the ability to put up a big inning. It's a beautiful thing to see for the San Diego Padres. 7 runs in an inning, literally their biggest inning of the year. And they had their 2 biggest innings of the year on this road trip so far, Chris. So if we're looking for signs of life, I think these are the signs of life we hope to cling to. And more importantly, we hope the Padres can build upon as they leave the friendlier confines of anywhere but Petco and head back to Petco Park this weekend.
We talked about it on Padres Hot Tub, dude. They have been showing little signs of life after being pretty pathetic. Bats in their hand at the start of the year. I think you're right. I think this is a momentum builder, having guys kind of contribute up and down. They batted around, I believe, for the first time all year, getting through all 9 guys in the lineup. And that's got to feel good for them. Did you see that tweet about the exit velocities on Tatis's hits today? I want to say there were 4 balls he made contact with, and each and every one was over 106 miles per hour exit velocity, and that's the first time that's ever happened.
Wow.
So
that's
if that crazy guy turns a corner, like we talked about, puts that OPS up a couple hundred points, it's going to make it a lot easier for this offense to seem good, even if we don't have Gary Sanchez knocking him out every night. And I'll say it right away, I'm a moron. He's hitting home runs, so I'm stoked he's here.
Hey, I know it was an indictment of the club that we had to be excited to see Gary Sanchez walk through that door, to see number 99 put on the tools of ignorance and get behind the plate. But the dude has already matched the home run total of the catching core in 1 series.
Yeah, welcome. So, get that man some gear with the Padres team colors on it.
Yeah. Settle in, Gary. You're here for a while now. Keep it up. He does have power. And honestly, a power hitting catcher that hit 220. Again, it's like we talked about with Rafe on Monday night, on Memorial Day night, Chris. You don't have to be incredible to be productive at the bottom of the Padres lineup. You just have to not be 125 with a 415 OPS. Like, be decent. Do something every once in a while. And Gary Sanchez is doing that, so much so that I believe AJ Preller has just now given him a new contract. It's 10 years consecutive 1-week player option. So every week he gets a hit, it triggers a new option.
Escalating $1 million each week.
Just get those hits, Gary.
He looks good. Like, I thought there was going to be rust. Looking at how he ended last season, how he's kind of bounced around, but it's not. He squared up some good pitches this week. They went out in a hurry, and he brought life to the team. Even yesterday, when the Padres were facing noted ace and phenomenal pitcher for the Marlins, Brad Garrett.
Mm-hmm. Braxton.
Oh, Braxton, yeah, Braxton Garrett. This guy's only 6'2". He's not even that tall. Brad Garrett's way taller than that. So, the guy is much needed, Craig. Welcome. We can't wait till it's him and Campusano just back there brooding, all tatted up and birded.
We've got a great crowd here, and if anyone would like to put their hand up and offer to jump up on stage, we will invite you to do so and to bring your question up. or your comment about the San Diego Padres. Once again, we record these live in front of our patrons, and you can become a patron, patreon.com/PadresHotTub, patreon.com/PadresHotTub. For as low as $5 a month, you can be a member of our Discord. You can get all of our ad-free podcasts. You can get all of our bonus podcasts. And be part of our live shows as we do live group therapy or live post-game shows each and every week. We also do have some written-in questions, Chris, that we can get to as well. Jelly X, a big patron, asked if Gary Sanchez is for real, and I think we kind of started going down that road with our last comment. Gary Sanchez is Gary Sanchez, right? Like, if we're expecting him to do Benito Santiago Player of the Month, 34-game hitting streak, supercharged the summer. Look, I'm here for it. It would be incredible. The guy's hit 199 since 2020 in the major leagues. So odds are Gary Sanchez will settle in somewhere in that range as the year goes on. But if he can find a little bit of something, a little bit of that supreme pop that helped him hit closer to 250 with the Yankees and get over 20 home runs, gosh, do the Padres need it? Do they need it? I mean, Austin Nola is just the biggest bust in baseball, and Camposano's been injured the whole year. The poor kid is star-crossed in his career so far. The Padres need a spark. I mean, I was longingly looking over at Jorge Alfaro.
Yeah.
This week, Chris. So, like, if Sanchez can do it, man, any port in a storm, he'll become my new favorite.
You're looking at guys in Worcester with bad knees. You're not doing great. Yeah, sure, his numbers aren't going to stay at 294 with a 925 OPS, but he's brought immediate energy to the lineup. Like, and that's pretty priceless right now, at a time when this club's got, you know, bad vibes kind of written all over it. Just having a guy who isn't a dead spot in the lineup, I think, changes how pitchers approach the Padres. Maybe there was even a little bit of underestimation. They're like, this guy smells like a Padres catcher. Oh, he's going to be an easy out. And then, nope. The fact that his timing is already there, showing up to a new club. I know he was training in Tampa Bay, had a short trip over to Miami to join the Padres. But the fact that he hit the ground running keeps me optimistic, and I was really dooming on Gary Sanchez being a member of the Padres, and he did about the only thing he could to make that 180 for me, Craig. So Campusano has a lot to recover from. Like, right? He's got a hand injury. He's got to come back and get back to major league timing. We're not sure he had it at the beginning of the season. So I don't know if they carry three catchers when he comes back or what, but I know a lot of the fan base is ready for the day when there's only two in Campy and Sanchez. I don't know how fast that's going to get here, and fingers crossed Gary stays healthy and take the bulk of the reps till, you know, mid-July when Luis is back.
Let's be very clear. Luis Camposano is the only potential long-term solution at catcher that's on the Padres 40-man roster. Yeah, the only
you
one.
You weren't being serious about and extension?
I was very much being unserious. I was being like Connor Roy level unserious. I have a preambulating circuit of catcher selection coming up. If you watched the last episode, you know that joke. But Camposano needs to be this team's solution at catcher, unless they're going to have to go spend more assets to bring another catcher into the organization via trade or via free agency going forward. Sanchez is a short-term solution, but if he can be a short-term solution, they need solutions. They need answers. They need Austin Nola not to be a regular player on this team. And, you know, as hilarious as it was to see people like freaking out on Tuesday that Nola was getting competition, like this weird section of the fan base that is still enamored with Austin Nola, he's been objectively one of the very, very worst players in Major League Baseball this year. And having that guy in your starting lineup is guaranteed to be a bad thing. So getting even approaching something near average just makes this team so much better.
That's like borderline election denial, wildly proclaiming that Austin Nola is a major league catcher. Like, that's right up against the threshold. So won't find that here.
Another question from Hangastar in our group therapy text channel. He asks, what's your guys' takes on the uptick in stolen bases? All for the energy it brings the club, or skeptic of a passing fad? I'm definitely on the front side of that, that either or, Hangastar. I am all for the energy it brings the club. I have found it baffling at the beginning of the year that the Padres weren't running more. And it seemed like it took Ha-Sung Kim getting going and getting on base more often that they've given Kim the trust of the green light. And now he's up to 10 steals, but now you see Tatis stealing. Now Soto is up to, I think, 5 or 6 steals. Bogarts is around that number of steals. And when the Padres are running, Cronenworth, I see, stole his third today. When they're running, they're putting pressure on the opposing pitchers. They're putting pressure on the opposing defense. I think, Chris, this team got really caught in a stinky rut for a month of standing around, watching pitches, watching strikes, watching the other team operate, watching other pitchers dictate both pace, tempo, and the game flow. And the Padres doing anything that puts the tempo more in their side and in their dugout as opposed to the opponent is going to be good news for this offense.
They were being so timid on the base pass, they didn't even touch home plate for a play with Rougned Odor. The Padres need to be more aggressive because they're so bad at allowing stolen bases, being near the bottom of the league and allowed stolen base percentage, and at being just mids isn't good enough. And they got guys on the roster talented at scooping bags, so let them loose. The Ha-Sung Kims, the Tatis, Grisham back in his day could swipe a bag. There was some talk in the Discord about why Jake Cronenworth doesn't steal more, because he's not the slowest guy either. Manny's got more stolen bases than him, and Manny's slower visibly. So yeah, dude, let's go ahead and keep tapping that button until, and that's not to mention Jose Azokar, who flies. So yeah, keep tapping the little drip button of stolen bases until we're like passed out on it, you know, in a euphoric stupor. Just keep hitting the button, baby.
I like it. Hey, speaking of hitting the button, anybody in our listening audience right now, listening live, if you'd like to tap that little hand button, we will be happy to invite you up on the stage, and you can ask a question live of Chris and myself, or offer a comment, or whatever you'd like to do. I mean, sing a little song, do a performance of Auf Wiedersehen Goodbye, if you watch the Ted Lasso finale, whatever you'd like to do. That's your choice. BABIP Roberts. What's that? Sound of Music, exactly. The team performs
way to spoil it.
So Long Farewell to Ted Lasso.
Hey, guys.
Hi, BABIP. How are you?
I'm doing better, actually, compared to last night. So, you know, June, hopefully we'll get some sun finally for the weekend, because it's been miserable. So hopefully new month, you know, turn the page and things looking up.
I like that. I would love to say, Gray, which is transitioning into June gloom, just stop, you know. Can we just be done with this? I don't know.
But kind of to echo, I think you posted it yesterday. It did feel like a gut punch yesterday, kind of like not even getting mad, just like, you know, it's like getting to the end of the line. And I really thought today was kind of like those games where it might decide the course of the season kind of games, because, you know, you're coming off the long road trip. If you lose, you lose the road trip. Then you would lose the series after pretty much, you know, being two outs away. So I honestly thought the team had the at best 50-50 just because Luzardo was, you know, lefty with some good stuff. But props to them. They came through. So, I mean, I feel like they averted something. They kind of, you know, got one foot out of the quicksand, but we still got at least next month to go to see if they can get, you know, both feet out and also both hands, because they were pretty stuck in there. And I was almost thinking if they lose today, it's probably one of the things that is going to make them potentially, you know, miss the playoffs. Just want your take on it.
Abbott Roberts, I really agree. I mean, I looked at the last couple of games, and I looked at the last couple of games in New York as playoff style games. And what we said at the end of Monday night's show, I know not everyone makes it to the end of every show, but what we said, I'm going to stand by, and Chris, I'll even update it. You know, on Monday night's show, we looked ahead from that moment to the All-Star break. It was a 37 game stretch, and we said 22-15. I mean, it does at 22-15 just gets you to two games over 500 at the All-Star break. It just gets you back in the conversation. It's not like, hey, we're on a roll, but it's a consistent month and a half of solid play that allows you to get back in the conversation. That's now down to 20-14. Padres have taken a 2-1 to start that section. And Chris, I truly believe they've got to go 20-14 and a minimum the rest of this way to the All-Star break to be back in the conversation. So it's one step in the right direction. Put all of the past in the past and take the next step. You've got the Cubs coming up. Try and win tomorrow.
That's baseball, man. You can get three out of four this week. Day by day by day. Because if you're doing what you're supposed to write, you just naturally win two-thirds of your games and go to the playoffs. That's how it goes, right? They don't need to win two-thirds, but they got to get close to it. The schedule is favorable all the way through it. I mean, they play the Rays in mid-July, but I see a lot of Pirates. I see a lot of Reds, Nationals, Guardians, Mariners, all these teams that are underperforming. So June, starting today, 1-0, is absolutely crucial. Not only for the turning of the calendar, but coming home for six games against a Cubs team that they had trouble with in Chicago.
Anything else, Babbitt?
No, I'm good, guys. Hopefully, like I said, the weather comes up big also this weekend, and you know, take it one series at a time now, but I kind of feel now this is the team we're supposed to see or we wanted to see. So hopefully, you know, we still get the pitching and we get a little bit more than six games above 500 for the rest of the month.
Appreciate you, man. Yeah. I'd like a six game over 500 week and then, you know, see what that does to spike everyone's adrenaline and get everyone's endorphins going. Appreciate you, man. Babbitt Roberts, our first up to the stage. Anybody who is listening live on our Patreon group therapy stage, feel free to click the little button, raise your hand, and we will bring you on up. Also want to say, Chris, shout out, Padres Obsessed Wes is in the crowd. Wes and I were out golfing this afternoon with TOM and DJ Iverson from Padres Twitter up at Eagle Crest in Escondido. And, you know, cloudy days. Not great for the psyche, but wonderful for golfing. Just perfect weather. Absolutely perfect golfing weather. So shout out to Wes for his kind invitation. And we had a terrific day, and I hit just enough good golf shots to feel, you know, not like a miserable failure.
Golf is at its most natural when it's all gloomy, green, and, you know, kind of Scottish.
Yes, Lynx Golf, except Eagle Crest is anything but a Lynx course. It's more of a target or your ball is gone course. Octuary had a couple of interesting questions in our group therapy text channel, Chris. The first is, does Nola get relegated to be Darvish's personal catcher? I think we've even seen just reporting from Kevin Acey on this that it's not just Darvish, but I think Darvish and Musgrove are going to be Nola's starts. And I think everyone else is going to get Sanchez. And so just right away, Sanchez steps into a minimum of a 60-40 platoon. And if you're back to a six-man, if Lugo comes back at any point soon, it could be a 75-25 platoon.
Which is kind of what Sanchez versus Nola from opening day on, right? Just a guy to get Nola out of there, get the lineup moving majority of the time. And I think you and Joe are probably going to have to figure something out towards the end of the season. They don't want to carry three catchers, Craig. They have three catchers, two DHs. It's starting to get a little insane. So in the days of being able to call your own game with the pitch clock, those guys might want to start practicing on the buttons, you know?
Hachiori followed up and said, and this is kind of a derivative of what we talked about, but he says there's 27 games in the month of June. What's a realistic target record for the month? And is anything less than 16 wins going to be a disappointment? 16 would be 16-11. That would get you to five of the seven games over that we're looking for. And I think 16-11 is a good target for the Padres for the month of June. Now, can they soar above that? And win 21 and go 21-6? Yes. And I hope they do. And I hope that they completely turn around the narrative for Padres baseball 2023. But this is what they need, Chris. If it's going to be the kind of year that we talked about in our prediction podcast, they've got to have a 20-win month sometime this summer. And I mean, sooner rather than later, because you also, it's not just a matter of banking the wins. It's a matter of banking the momentum that allows the front office to have the ability to add to the club in a marginal way that can be meaningful instead of trying to sell the farm once again at the trade deadline. I don't think this team's equipped to sell the farm and do the double all in. I think they need to make a marginal, meaningful move to improve the club, and you can't do that if you're plus minus 500 at the All-Star break.
We're all quietly terrified of the six games behind the Dodgers, one game behind the wild card trade that AJ is going to make to improve at the margins. So those have come back to bite us really, really quite hard in disastrous, long-reaching ways. So we need the momentum. I still think this is one of the top five most talented rosters in baseball, Craig. And our pitchers didn't pitch like it, and our hitters certainly haven't hit like it. If June can be the month that it all turns on and they take home a few more than 20, I'd love to see it. I'd be here to see it. It's kind of the team that I thought they'd be. So, yeah, let's see it, guys. You're 1-0. You're already 3% there. Just win them all. You don't need to lose any.
Once again, an offer. If anyone would like to click the button, raise their hand, we will bring you up to the stage. Otherwise, I've got a question for you, Chris. There's some reporting, there's some whispering that Manny Machado will be activated from the injured list prior to Friday's game against the Chicago Cubs. And this is group therapy, so I'm curious to get your feel on this. It's natural to be elated. I'm happy that Machado went on the disabled list. It's something he didn't do last year. But do you have any concerns that Manny's coming back and maybe doesn't have the strength in that drive hand, that right hand, that he needs to be the hitter that he needs to be? Would you almost have been more comfortable with him having more time?
Craig, because what I heard is that Manny Machado is going into a chamber and he's putting his hand inside a smaller chamber. And in that chamber, there are tiny crabs. And when they walk on his hand, they help rejuvenate the bones in his fingers. Dude, I'm worried. Yeah. it's Bones. And even he kind of talked about like, you know, I can't come back because these are bones. And I broke bones and it took longer than 3 weeks, dude. And this is a guy with a decades long investment from the San Diego Padres and the hearts of Padres fans. And we currently have guys that play infield pretty well. And the team's hitting all right. They're not, you know, they're starting to get a little bit better. Manny at Manny Machado level playing, the time we've come accustomed to expect, I want him back. But if he's not that guy in any way, shape, or form, this is the same thing I said about Joe, and then Joe had a really, really rough start to everything. So we're going to see what it does. He plays a different position. I want Manny healthy more than I want Manny tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yes. Absolutely.
Not bad.
Ha-Sung Kim has not
been
bad.
He's never been bad. He's always been him.
He's done better in the time he's filled in for Manny Machado than Manny Machado did. The Padres have averaged a half a run more per game without Manny than they have with Manny. And I'm not saying that that means that Ha-Sung Kim is better than Manny Machado, but he's outplayed him. So it's not really about the name, is it? It's about the performance. The Padres need top-level performance. And the reason they pay Manny Machado the money they do is because he's a player who delivers top-level performance. One of the biggest issues with the Padres in their first 2+ months of their season is they've been more about the brand than they've been about the performance. They've been more about the name and the marketing video and the sombrero and the Twitter feed, and it's not been about what you do as a team, winning, succeeding, hitting, fielding, pitching. It's been, oh, we're the Padres, and oh, we'll be there. We'll back of the baseball card. We'll get there. We're these guys. Like, I'm over that. I'm completely over winning the winter. I'm completely over, look at the names, look at the talent. People talk about our talent. I don't want to hear about it. What's our performance? How is the team performing? They performed better overall in these last three series. I mean, you look at the games that the Padres lost on this trip, and I mean, I think really they underplayed Washington, but they could have taken any of the three games in New York, and they could have won all three games in Miami with, you know, unquestionably winning two. So that's the performance level we need to see. You can't just go out and have the Cubs come in here and lose 3 out of 4 and get it shoved up your hiney by Justin Steele and Kyle Hendricks and friends. Like, you know, that can't happen. You've got to keep this going, keep the performance
pretty
going.
Sure, we
and then we'll be excited about
Justin
the name.
Steele, if my memory's correct, I think he's getting an MRI for forearm tightness. So yeah, he is dead. Rest in peace, Justin Steele.
Oh no.
It doesn't look like we're going to be seeing him. I know tomorrow night is Waka, which bodes well. Like I said, he's coming off an incredible month, so we have a lot to look forward to start off. Waka versus Tyone. Tyone's sporting one of those 8.04 ERAs. And then Darvish will face Smiley. Smiley's beating him in both the record and ERA games, but Darvish, he's always an adjustment away. I don't worry too much about Darvish. So Padres need their number one in May pitcher, and then their number one in our hearts pitcher perform well, because day three is a Weathers versus Marcus Stroman matchup. Marcus Stroman is a Cy Young contender this year. Yeah, very important that they start the series right tomorrow with Michael Waka, but then also that Yu Darvish shows up.
Absolutely. It's go time. It's the play in right now. This is the time. This is the get caught up on your homework pre-summer run for the San Diego Padres. You got 3 weeks till summer, right? Like, you got 3 weeks to get caught up on your homework. You're getting C minuses and D's. That first parent teacher conference didn't go well. Kindly words, but also some stern admonitions. And it's time. It's time to not talk about potential. It's just time to play this game and to beat the teams that are in front of you. Padres need to take this series, and it starts with Michael Wacha putting a good performance. And from a group therapy standpoint, I have a little bit of an antsy feeling returning home, returning to the Marine Lair. It's not like Lone Depot Park is a great place to hit. It's not like Nationals Park is a great place to hit. But just from a climate standpoint, it's better than San Diego. And obviously, the Marine Layer is still socked in, and it's probably not going to change tomorrow night and in the next 22 hours. So hopefully, dooming theory that our friend John Gennaro put forward on our Have a Drink podcast that patrons listened to last week, that it's still the ballpark having an effect on the Padres offense. Hopefully we see them start to overcome that type of stuff, because, two runs on four hits tomorrow would be a real drag after this.
The team that plays the Padres also has to play in the same stadium as them. And that's the Cubs, who are in fifth place, underperforming. We've got the better pitchers, I'd say, on paper, at least until day three. Blake Snell comes in day four, and he's been sharp. I don't worry so much about Petco. I can understand that we would worry about the mental well-being of Padres hitters after their performance the first couple months of the season and historically. But I think there's a lot of nice things about the city that Petco's in, and the environment around it, that it isn't, the whatever the hotel in The Shining is to these players. I don't think it's breaking them before they walk in. We certainly hate to see home runs die on the warning track, especially when opposing teams are getting into the seats. But I think the Padres bats are fired up right now, and they're perfectly capable of putting 7-run innings, line drive doubles, and timely hits with runners in scoring position. They're just as likely to do that at Petco as they are anywhere else.
You mentioned Jameson Taillon is on the mound for the Cubs tomorrow night. He had a groin injury. He came back from it fast. He's been absolutely terrible. Since he's been way over a run an inning in like 3-4 starts since coming back. Who's your starting DH tomorrow? Is it Matt Carpenter? Is it Brandon Dixon?
Now that we're
Dixon?
Up to seven Who different would you start guys at DH tomorrow? That are able to do it? That's tough. I think I'm going Matt Carpenter and trying to get Rougned Odor in the lineup as well. He disappeared after being our hero. So I think I'm playing Matt Carpenter and hoping that big sweeping long swing puts some of those onto the porch.
I would start Brandon Dixon at DH tomorrow. I like what I've seen from Dixon's swing the last week. A lot more than what I've seen from Carpenter's swing. And I know that he got a couple doubles on Tuesday. I went back and looked, and he hooked a changeup in both of those situations. He still has a slow bat. I don't count on opponents to throw Matt Carpenter changeups that he can handle all the time. Dixon is not only handling fastballs, but he's hitting opposite field base hits. both he's hit an opposite field homer on the road trip, and he's also had a couple of line drive hits over the second baseman's head. And I really like what I'm seeing right now. And I, really, it's not about Mr. Right. It's about Mr. Right Now for me. So if Gary Sanchez is going to get loud hits, Gary Sanchez should play. And if Brandon Dixon's going to get loud hits, Brandon Dixon should play. And I'm more worried about who's swinging the bat well than I am about platoon advantages right now. I'm not saying Bob Melvin's that way. And yes, Rougned Odor should be in the lineup tomorrow, no matter what. But if we're talking about DH, I think I'd actually get, you know, it's fine for us to disagree. It's a fun disagreement. But I would give Dixon a call. I understand why you'd call Carpy's name, but I'd write Dixon in the calligraphy pen.
Player. And to your point, he's pretty equal against righties and lefties. I mean, 679 OPS versus right-handed pitchers in his career, and 20 points less against left-handed hitters in his career. So he's not even really a platoon guy. Which it always bugs me when Bob Melvin platoons guys that aren't necessarily platoon players. How are you? You know, I'm good with that. He has looked good. I want to see more of him. So, yeah, sure, absolutely. I don't think we've mentioned it on a show yet, but I am starting to get very frustrated by Bob Melvin's record of challenging plays and how he does it. Earlier in the year, I did mention it. It made no sense. The Padres had a close play with one out in the ninth inning, I want to say, when they were behind, and they took like way too much time to challenge it. That has to be an instant challenge. It's the end of the game. It doesn't matter. And throughout, it seems like every series, there's a call or two that either they challenge for bonehead reasons or they just let the game play on something that was pretty close. To top it all off, tying run last night, never touch home plate. So I do worry about the Padres' systems in place for keeping the game fair, Craig.
Last chance for anybody to lift their hand if you'd like to come up with a question or comment. Otherwise, we're going to wrap up this evening's show. Sure is nice not to just be talking about the possibility of this being 2015 all over again. Like it's tough, and I know it's tough for the community. And I just want to say, you know, big ups to everybody who's keeping their chins up in the watch party, in our Padres channel, in our group therapy channel, you know, continuing to not blindly support this team, but to support this team with open eyes and to have your heart right there with this club, even when it's struggling. I'm not that guy who's going to get mad at you for being mad at Austin Nola, like some people on Twitter. But I do appreciate that this community is kind of hanging together, and hopefully it'll make a celebration in September all the sweeter.
This is watching the Padres is a big part of my well-being during the springs and summer. You know, I know what it's like to be a Padres fan by now. It's mostly terrible, but we've been given this Formula One car of a baseball team, and just been excited to watch it go, and it hasn't. So keeping your spirits high is tough, but yeah, thank you everybody out there for doing the same for me.
We recorded tonight's Padres Hot Tub Group Therapy live on our Padres Hot Tub Patreon Discord stage. You can be a part of the next show. Just go to patreon.com/PadresHotTub, patreon.com/PadresHotTub. Sign up for as low as $5 a month. Hopefully, we'll be back with happy post-game shows over the course of the weekend. Until then, for Chris and for Rafe, I'm Craig. Thanks to everybody for listening, and go Padres!